Heard the call to build your small business? Make it happen with a .net domain name, the place for dreamers for 30 years and counting. Visit keepdreamingup.net for tips and advice, whether you're just getting started or looking to grow. That's keepdreamingup.net.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the only daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole, available on iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter, and we've actually made it. I've said this the past like 2 days, but today is truly the day we've made it to real-life important Pelicans basketball, because we have made it to Wednesday, where tonight the Pelicans have their opening game of the season against the Memphis Grizzlies. So obviously going to preview this game for you guys in today's edition of the podcast, which, by the way, is going to be brought to you by SeatGeek. So we'll talk about that, talk a little bit about opening night, the games from where the Warriors lost to Houston. Then you had a Cavs win over the Celtics. That was kind of just off the bat from like the first couple of minutes, done for, seemed like at least, with the Gordon Hayward injury. That might have a serious impact around the league. The Warriors also had a bit of an injury. I'm not sure to the extent of it, with Draymond Green exiting the game early. That kind of changed the complexion for them. So already injuries hitting around the league early. So we'll touch on those games, mainly preview the Pelicans game for you, what to expect, what to watch for. You know, and this will kind of be a good measuring stick to see what this team is really made of. So we'll talk about all that and more in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans. So let's take a look around the league first, looking at that game with the Boston Celtics and Cleveland Cavaliers, a game that you knew LeBron was going to play in despite claims that maybe his ankle was hurting too much or whatever and he was a game-time decision. Dude was going to play. You know, the pettiness factor between these two teams and right now between LeBron James and Kyrie Irving was what was going to dominate the headlines from this. But what ended up happening was the gruesome, and don't watch it, please, it's absolutely horrible, no one needs to see it, injury to Gordon Hayward, where he fractured his tibia 6 minutes into the debut with his new team, their big money free agent signing this offseason, and kind of a centerpiece for them, because they did need to move guys to make room for him, for his salary, particularly in Avery Bradley. So just horrible to see, especially on opening night. To see a guy like that going down, that's really all I have to say. You know, it doesn't really impact the Pelicans. I'm sure the Celtics will be looking for help, but there's nothing really here for them to try and trade for. Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins, that's not happening, though there are, of course, going to be rumors about those two going to Boston this offseason, but nothing right now. But this, you've got to wonder if maybe makes them call and reach out to other teams about trades sooner rather than later, because Gordon Hayward's likely going to be done for the season. Hopefully not career-ending for him. And then in the later game, there was also an injury between Houston and Golden State that I mentioned in the opening, where Golden State actually lost 122-121. And the biggest thing was Draymond Green leaving that game. And this does impact the Pelicans, because this is the team that the Pelicans will play on Friday. Towards the end of the third quarter, Green jumped, landed awkwardly, and he was kind of limping a little bit after that, and so he left and then didn't return to the game. And basically, like I said in the opening, the complexion of the team changed. They lost a lot of their energy, and energy is something I'm going to talk about with the Pelicans when we start to preview this game. Energy is very key to that Golden State offense. You need a guy who's kind of being your lifeblood there, and that's often Draymond Green. You know, he said his knee was very sore after it get looked at Wednesday, but he was able to walk under his own power. He didn't think the injury was major. According to him, his quote is, "I'll be good. I'm fine." And up until that point, he had 9 points, 11 rebounds, and 13 assists in just 28 minutes. So you can see how key of a guy he is for this team. We already know this. That's no surprise. And then Steve Kerr said, you know, after he left, there didn't have a lot of energy. And just to have a high energy guy out there, it's really important for that team. Remains to be seen whether or not he'll play or suit up against the Pelicans. We should know more maybe later this afternoon. Of course, we'll talk about that either tomorrow or Friday, but it's worth keeping an eye on if you're a Pelicans fan right now. And then finally, if we're still going around the league, and this one's a weird one to talk about, the Bulls had maybe one of the wildest, wackiest storylines of the offseason, since it was about an hour before the first game tipped off, come out of their practice yesterday where Bobby Portis and Nikola Mirotic got into an altercation or something after practice. Supposedly, this is all Twitter stuff. We don't know exactly what happened. Bobby Portis had a cheap shot, or maybe it was just a regular punch. Who knows? Maybe it wasn't a cheap shot. But punched Mirotic in the face, who then crumpled to the ground, had to be taken to the hospital for two fractured bones in his face and be tested for a concussion. And it sounds like he's going to have surgery and be out for the foreseeable future. Absolutely awful situation there. I don't know what went on. I had read somewhere that this was 3 years in the making, so nothing good. And, you know, when we look at the Pelicans, we get frustrated. At least they're not doing shit like this, because this is pretty bad. Teammates punching teammates. The chemistry and morale here in New Orleans is quite high, and it makes me happy to see that, because, man, there's some bad situations you can end up with on your team and with your players if it's not going right. And the Pels have good locker room guys in Davis. Everyone loves Cousins in the locker room. Even Rondo's considered a good teammate influencer, maybe not coach type guy, but certainly a good teammate. Solomon Hill's around. All of that, good things to have, because you see something like that happen to the Bulls, and man, it could be so bad right now. Like, Bulls fans have got to be miserable, and at least that's not the Pels right now. So before I go and preview this game tonight for the Pelicans and Memphis, let me tell you, especially since the season is starting right now, you know, buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated, but there's a better, simpler way to buy, and that's with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events, and with SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. Two taps. It's that easy. I use it all the time. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek will help you get closer to the action for great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone. I use it for Saints games a lot. I recently used it for a Tulane game, since they seem to kind of be up and coming. Go Green Wave. And it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats. I do this in Champions Square. This is the trick I'm going to tell you guys and let you in on the secret here. Go tailgate in Champions Square. Hang out, have fun. Don't have tickets yet. And I wait till couple minutes before kickoff, when you're getting kind of close, those prices drop. You hop on the app, you use the app, you get tickets on your phone, and you can go right on in. You don't need to run anywhere and print anything. SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. It saves you time and money by searching multiple sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. And best of all, my listeners get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LONBA. That's promo code LONBA for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase, and make sure you get closer to the action. Okay, so let's talk about the Pelicans finally in Memphis tonight on the road, the first game of the season. Always important. You need to get this win, because 8 of the first 12 are on the road. Those first 12 are against, for the most part, pretty good teams. So you want to try and make sure you get these wins, especially because Memphis seems to be in a down year for them. The grit and grind era is over. There's no more Tony Allen, no more Zebo there. They still do have Mike Conley and Marc Gasol, those two all-stars, which are still going to make them scary. That's why I don't like the idea of people sleeping on them. And while I'm not sure they make the playoffs, I think this team is a lot better than people out there are saying. So if they beat the Pelicans tonight, I'm not necessarily going to be stunned by this, to be honest. So, of course, though, we don't know yet. So when I preview games, what I'm going to do this season, I don't really like to give you guys like three keys to the game or here's what the three things the Pelicans need to do to win or anything like that. Because frankly, I can say all of these things. I stopped doing this after doing this a couple of times for like a year or two when I was writing for Bourbon Street Shots about this, because frankly, if I give you guys three ideas on how they can win and say this is what they must do to win, they can still go out and win without doing those things. So really kind of what's the point? Or they can lose and have done all of those things because there's so many other variables and it takes more than three. We need to go with like a list of like 400 things potentially to be able to try and be like, if the Pelicans do all of this on the checklist, they'll win. I don't like doing that. I'm not going to do that here. So instead, this season, what I'm really going to do is just tell you what I'm watching for and things that'll basically maybe give you a new perspective on the game or kind of change the way you view the game. So what I rarely watch the guy with the ball, for example, out there because I'm more interested in off-ball movement. And then, frankly, I know who has the ball, and all of a sudden, especially if I'm in the arena, I hear everyone cheering. I know that dude scored, and I can likely immediately figure out how, even if I didn't have my eyes on him the whole time. So don't need to watch the dude with the ball. So there are some things I want to see the Pelicans do tonight, or see if they do, that's going to kind of influence and impact how I think about this team. So one is offensively, who's starting? It sounds like it's going to be Etuan Moore. That's what Alvin Gentry said. His quote was probably. I don't think this is the right way to go because we've talked about this. They don't have anyone that kind of gets the defense on its heels or moving and reacting on the perimeter. Holiday can kind of do it, but he's not great at it. With that dribble drive and dribble penetration, kind of break down the defense, get guys kind of moving their heads on defense, which allows for better cutters and more open shots. So, yeah, it's likely going to be Etuan Moore. Do they struggle in the first couple of minutes against this Memphis team then, who still is going to be solid defensively? I'm curious about this because if they are and they do struggle and they come out kind of stagnant and the offense looks bad, you're wasting valuable minutes of having Drew, Davis, and Cousins out there on the court together, and you need to maximize their time when they're out on the wood. So that means likely they need to make a change to the starting lineup, moving to either Ian Clark, or who's largely kind of becoming my preferred starter right now, in Jordan Crawford. We'll see. Maybe they mix it up and don't go with that starting lineup tonight, but that's what it sounds like it's going to be. So do they get enough production early on in the game? Stop getting in holes early and then have to fight your way out of it. That's not an easy thing to do. And all of a sudden you expend all of this energy on a comeback just to tie the game that you might not have energy to finish the game off and take a lead and maintain it. That's always a concern when trying to come back. Another area to keep an eye on is going to be defensively, and in particular, one or two things. So obviously, this defense, everyone knows, jumped to the top 10 of last year, finishing ninth in defensive ranking, according to, I think it was NBA.com/stats. But overall, they were a good defense last year, and a lot of that had to do with Solomon Hill, who's no longer here. And you likely have Dante Cunningham in the starting lineup taking his spot, so there's a downgrade there defensively. Not a ton, but there is some. Well, it might be a ton. But there's a downgrade there. So I expect this Pelicans defense to slip. Everyone thinks they're going to maintain this top 10 ranking, and I don't. You're missing one of your key guys doing this, and now you've got someone out in there who's not Rajon Rondo, who's not a great defensive player anymore, but he's still solid and serviceable. That's a concern to me. And when we saw these two teams play a couple of days ago, Memphis absolutely lit them up for, 142 points, 149 points, something like that. Just bad. 43? I can't remember. It wasn't good. They put up 36, I think, or something like that in the first quarter. This is not a Memphis team that's known for offense, so can you contain these guys? Largely, that was due to Mike Conley breaking down the defense at the point of attack and driving. Again, what we need the Pels to do, basically. Drew Holiday needs to man up on this dude and shut him down. And Conley's good. He was the highest paid player in the league. He's an all-star, so it's no surprise. He's never made an all-star game is what it is, maybe. I forget. But anyway, he's really good. We all know this. And they need to take that away. You can live with some of these guys taking three-pointers, but getting to the rim and driving and breaking down your defense and then kicking out for three is bad. At least make them just pull up for three on the perimeter from their guards to try and do this. That's going to be the biggest thing. Defensively, DeMarcus Cousins has kind of struggled against Marc Gasol in the past. So you got to hope that he is coming out with a lot of effort and energy tonight. That's going to be the big thing, I think, defensively for this team. when they played Memphis last time, that energy wasn't there. Like, they just didn't care. They didn't want to be there. It might have been because they weren't originally going to play in that game, and all of a sudden they were being asked to, so okay. But that was a critical game for the Pels because they needed to figure some things out on offense without Rondo, and they just didn't really care to try or do any of this. So we need to see them coming out with that energy, that intensity, kind of what Steve Kerr was talking about with Golden State missing Draymond Green. You don't have that, you're just going to lose this game right off the bat. Because it's going to be hard to find that energy and intensity later on after a halftime speech or whatever. You're not going to do that. You need to come out and play well to start with, and I want to see if the Pelicans can do that. Another area I'm going to be curious about is, can the Pelicans get to the line? I'm not saying they need to win this game, but I want to know if they can get to the line significantly. All preseason, Davis and Cousins have been able to get there consistently and very often in high volume. And with Marc Gasol starting, he's going to be covering one of Davis or Cousins, but it'll probably change which. Meaning you have J. Michael Green trying to cover the other one. That is a mismatch, and the Pelicans need to take advantage of that, meaning that's where they need to try and draw some fouls. Gasol's a good defender, so I don't think he's going to foul as much. Though when he's matched up on Cousins, Cousins can use his physicality to try and draw some of those fouls to get the Pelicans into the bonus. After that, a lot of these guys aren't really great defenders behind them. James Ennis is okay at small forward, but Dante Cunningham, if he uses his physicality, can probably draw some fouls. You have Wayne Selden at the two guard, which if he's trying to draw Holiday, Holiday needs to be just attacking him all night. Again, try and get to the line. Basically, what I'm trying to say is there are some advantageous matchups for the Pelicans in this game, and what they need to do is take advantage of those and get to the frickin' line other than Davis and Cousins. Can anyone else get there more than five times tonight? I really don't know, and if they can, it might give you hope for the future that the Pelicans can use this to their advantage, because everyone says they need to get the line, they need to get to the line. None of these other dudes get to the line. You have, say, two or three starters that are average here tonight for Memphis. Take advantage of that and make those guys pay and punish them and get to the line more than a handful of times between the rest of your guys combined. You have two guys that will get you into the bonus. These guys need to take advantage. You might win without doing this, but man, the Pelicans need some way to generate easy offense, especially if things start to slow down and kind of get stuck. So, gotta get this done. Let's see if they can get to the line, because I have serious doubts if they're going to be able to all season long, so this is going to be very important. So those are just some of the things that I wanted to dive deep a little bit on that I'm going to be watching for tonight's game. Other things like off-ball movement is very important. Are the Pelicans getting open threes, and then are they hitting open threes? They're going to get open shots. The question is, do they hit them? Because they did not do a good job last season. And at a certain point, who cares if the shots are open if these guys just can't make them? Maybe they're just not good three-point shooters despite them being open. It could sometimes just be that simple. And I know people don't want to kind of admit that, but maybe these just guys aren't good three-point shooters. They're creating good offense, but we don't have the players to execute it. Other different things that I might have an eye on here, depending. I'm curious to see the guard rotation. You know, how many minutes per game is Tony Allen going to get? Jordan Crawford going to get? Sounds like he's out and not going to be playing in this one. So what are kind of the rotation minutes? Darius Miller, where does he fit in all of this? You know, in preseason, it's been kind of hit or miss with injuries and people being in and out, and some guys just not playing because they're veterans like Allen and Crawford during preseason. So we finally get to see this. It might give us kind of an idea of what this team's going to look like going forward. So I'm going to be watching for all that and probably some other things. I'll be tweeting throughout the game as well. Don't forget, before we wrap up the podcast, maybe the most important thing here today. Live podcast tomorrow night being recorded at the New Movement Theater in the Marigny Bywater St. Claude area, 2706 St. Claude, 70117. I'll be there around 6 o'clock hanging out. We're going to be doing a happy hour there in the back bar. The weather's nice in New Orleans now. You get to come out and have some fun. So we'll be doing that, then moving inside to the theater to record the live podcast. We've got a great panel of guests lined up for you, including Aaron Hartigan from Fox Sports New Orleans is going to be up there with me, alongside Chris True co-hosting the podcast with me. We have so much fun doing these. Please come on out. We'll be doing some fun stuff beforehand, then taking audience questions, talking about the actual games and on-court stuff, answering anything you guys want to know about the Pelicans. It's going to be a great time. If you get there before 8, It's free to come into the show. After that, it's just $5. That helps them just keep the lights on at the New Movement Theater, where they happily host us all. So that's a truly wonderful thing. I'll be there, of course. I hope to see you guys there as well. So that's going to do it for the podcast. Thank you all for listening. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. Go Pels. Hopefully no injuries, because that has been a goddamn thing these past couple of nights, and that's a little bit scary. So if the Pelicans can get a win, that's great. If they come out healthy, even better. And then they get ready to take on the Golden State Warriors in the Friday home opener. That's going to be an intense one, a lot of fun. I am very excited. So thank you all for listening today, and I'll be back with you all tomorrow.
With the holidays around the corner, now's your chance to save time and money at Safeway's Stock Up Sale. Plus, earn 4x gas reward points on participating items. Look for tags on items like Honey Nut Cheerios. Select varieties are 4 for $8 with your club card. And select varieties of Betty Crocker Cake Mix, Brownie Mix, or Frosting are 10 for $10 with your club card. Maximum gas reward at participating Sunoco stations is 20 cents per gallon and $1 per gallon at Safeway stations in a single fill-up up to 25 gallons. Other restrictions, limitations, and exclusions apply. For complete details, go to Safeway.com.